It is the calm before the storm, if you will. The calm being that time in between the off-season program, which ended with the OTAs and mini camps that the Titans conducted in June, ahead of the storm that is training camp in the preseason, all of which runs very quickly into the start of the regular season. I don't know, it's a downtime, if you would call it that, if it's time to catch your breath, if it's a time to take a step back maybe and gain some perspective. I think on this episode of Believe in Titans, we will do the latter. We'll take a little bit of a step back. We'll look at where the Titans stand. We've gone through a lot this off season in terms of watching the roster being rebuilt, the coaching change, all of that. No one can say it's been an uneventful 2024 so far for the Tennessee Titans, but what is past is prologue, and what is to come is, of course, what matters most for this team and any team in the NFL. So, as we get into this episode of Believe in Titans, I am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner, joined as always by John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
And well, and yourself?
I am doing great. Like we say, there's a lot went on with this team. For a team that finished 7-10 last season and made a quarterback change mid-season, a coaching change at the start of the offseason. No one can say that the front office hasn't tried to make improvements. How optimistic are you? What gives you reason for optimism? Based on what they've done, what you've seen, what you've heard, that this is a significantly better team in 2024 than it was in 2023.
Reason for optimism that comes to mind for me is we all know that the Titans went into this offseason with a glaring hole at left tackle, and they have attempted to fill it with the drafting of J.C. Latham at number 7, a pick that raised its fair share of questions because J.C. Latham had played hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of snap at right tackle. The question raised was, can he go over to left tackle in the NFL after playing zero in college? But, the early signs, I think, are very good ones for the Titans. Now, we have to put out the obvious disclaimer. These guys haven't been in pads. They're not hitting one another. Things could look different in training camp. But from what we have seen so far, just observing J.C. Latham on the practice field, he looks like a massive human being who is also mobile and flexible, two keys in playing that left tackle position. It's not enough to be a giant. Sometimes it's better not to be a massive person because you have to be a very good athlete to keep up with these edge rushers coming at you. So I think what we have seen so far is very good on that front. And I thought, Brian Callahan had a pretty good way of describing things that, when we asked him how much of a gauge can you get on a guy when you're not using pads and so forth, and he said, there are signs in the footwork, there are signs in the mobility, and you may not definitively be able to say this guy's got it, on the left side until he faces some physical competition, but you can usually tell if a guy doesn't have it even without pads, because of the lack of the footwork, the lack of the mobility, et cetera, et cetera. And he liked what he saw in J.C. Latham there as well. And I think not only from what we've seen on the field, but just from all indications we've gotten from him as a guy who loves to be on the practice field. He loves to learn. They told that story about him not long after signing the contract. He was out there by himself on the practice field, working the sled. Rand Carthen and Nick Holtz had to come out and say, look, we can't be doing that. We only get so many hours to practice the rookies, and we got a storm coming up also. You got to get off the field. But he's a very mature, very poised kid that really looks, He looks like basically the antithesis of what Isaiah Wilson was, the Titans pick, you know, in terms of maturity, in terms of willingness, eagerness. And I think that's a great sign, early, very early on, at a position of huge need for the Titans. You know, the other reason I think I have, for optimism is, the two back system. And to me, part of the reason because for that is, you know, what Brian Callahan, who by all accounts is a very creative offensive mind, a guy who's done good things with the Cincinnati Bengals offense over the years, and really unprompted a couple of times during the offseason, he just talked about how exciting all the options he had were with Tony Pollard and with Tajae Spears. You know, we all know the Titans are dealing with a massive, massive loss at the running back position in Derrick Henry. But the different kinds of things they can do in with these types of backs, I think is cause for optimism as well. You look at Tajae Spears, 52 catches last year. Pollard has averaged 44 catches for the last 3 years. And you start to look at these guys. And they haven't quite proven it yet, but a guy like a Joe Mixon in his last 3 years under Brian Callahan, he twice went over 1,000 yards running, and he averaged 51 catches for about 400 yards those 3 years. So I think, you know, there's a couple of good backs there to offset one another. Somebody's always going to have the hot hand. So that to me is an interesting, I guess, sign of optimism at the running back despite losing Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's interesting. The whole thing with J.C. Latham that's intriguing to me when you talk about this attitude that he has and this enthusiasm and you know that this is gonna wade into the absurd a little bit, but you know this is a guy who's from a program that's used to winning, right? He's all about, you know, I mean, everything about Alabama football is about winning. So that, you know, that's kind of at the center of this mindset too. But it almost puts me of the mindset of Magic Johnson. If you remember the story about Magic Johnson, his very first game as a rookie with the Los Angeles Lakers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hits a sky hook right at the end of the game. The Lakers win by one. It's a game-winning shot. It's the first game in an 82-game season, and Magic Johnson goes crazy and runs and jumps into Kareem's arms and is carrying on. And like all these veteran NBA players are looking at him like, "What the hell is the matter with you, rookie?" You know, like it's one game in the regular season. We got a long way to go, but. Of course, then Magic Johnson, being Magic Johnson, his attitude eventually just sort of permeated that team and sort of, you know, changed the whole standard of what it was to be a Los Angeles Laker for a while. And you're sort of getting the sense that with Latham, there is that sort of, you know, life and positivity and competitiveness that maybe this team could use a little bit of that and more closer to home and certainly a more pointed, I guess, analogy would be you go back to the Titans, what about almost 20 years ago now when Kyle VandenBosch came. And I think I've told this story too. Of course, Kyle VandenBosch was legendary for his time with the Titans for how hard he went every single snap in practice and you know, whether it was a team rep, whether it was an individual rep, whatever, he was going full out all the time. And that same year the Titans drafted three young defensive linemen, or maybe it was the next year, and Antoine Odom, Travis LeBoy, and Bo Schobel. And I remember 3 years into it with that group of youngsters talking to Travis LeBoy one day, and we were talking about VandenBosch, he kind of shook his head and he said, "I remember the first time I watched that guy practice, and I thought, there is no way that dude is going to make it to the end of the season," he said. "But every December and January, he's going just as hard as he is in August," he said. He said, "Eventually I realized that's what I had to do." And you know, Travis LeBoy was not a great player. He was not as good as Kyle VandenBosch was, but He hung around the league a little bit. He made some plays for the Titans. He had some good games. Antoine Odom, the same thing. I mean, it was just and Vannon Bosch's attitude went beyond the defensive line in those days too. You could almost say he was responsible for that 2008 offensive line that only allowed, I think it was, 8 sacks the whole season. Like, those guys every day in practice had to be at their absolute best to deal with this guy, and eventually they got so dialed in that they were a machine. And I would say my second reason for optimism then is the cornerback group. This is such a pass heavy league, and the rules continue to favor wide receivers and quarterbacks and offenses and all these things. And you're never going to have, Lester Hayes and Willie Brown of the great Raiders teams on either side again. Like, you're not going to be eliminating a team's passing game, but this team had to be better, and how much better they are, I can't tell you that, but L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie are a much better combination than they had last year, than this team has had in quite some time. They're two veteran guys. There's not going to be a big learning curve there. They're gonna be able to show Roger McCreary some things. They're gonna make mistakes. They're gonna get beat, but they are gonna compete. Like, that's the one thing, that this team's cornerbacks will compete this year, and that's got to make you better, especially when you've got a defensive front led by Jeffrey Simmons and the potential to create havoc there. I think as good as those, it's one of those things. We've sort of said it, and with our old friend Denard Walker, we used to talk about how the pass rush is always the cornerback's best friends, but the cornerbacks can do a lot for the pass rush too. And for the first time in a long time, I think you've got complementary pieces there that can actually help each other throughout the course of a game. It doesn't have to be every snap, okay, the defensive line has to do something here, or the cornerbacks are in trouble, it could be at certain points the cornerbacks are just going to have to stay with these guys because the rush isn't going to get home every time, and you've got cornerbacks who can actually do those sorts of things. So, and from you can talk about the improved offensive line, and I mean, I think there's any number of reasons we could point to and things we've discussed this offseason. But interestingly, you get outside Nashville and the Titans and whatnot, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism for this team, John. You can look at some of the way too early 2025 mock drafts, and there are at least three that we know of in Pro Football Network, CBS Sports, and Walter Football, who have the Titans picking second overall in the 2025 draft. BetOnline.ag here recently, it was a couple weeks ago now, put out lines for every game of the regular season for every team. The Titans are favored in one game. They are the underdogs in 16 of their 17 games this year. And BetOnline also did odds, published odds for where each team might finish within the division, and the Titans' best odds are to finish last in the AFC South. It is not a pretty picture in terms that people outside of this organization are seeing. So what are people looking at, do you think, John? What could be so catastrophic that this could be 2014 or 2015 all over again? Or is that just really not a possibility? Are people missing things, you think?
I think people are missing things. I think clearly part of it is recent experiences, a little recency bias. And as we all know, the Titans have been bad, in 2022. They were 7-3, wound up 7-10, followed that up with a 6-11 season. So last, year and a half, there's been a grand total of 9 wins that people have seen. So, I think certainly there's some element of like, if you've been that bad for a couple of years, I still think you're going to be that bad until you show me otherwise. Then, yeah, I think you also have to take into effect, obviously, the one biggest name that the Titans had that everybody knew and everybody thought was great and is going to be a Hall of Famer is Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry is gone. He's no more. If you go back even further, AJ Brown was a stud talent. He's gone. So if you're average Joe sitting out there and saying, okay, the Titans team has been bleeding talent for the last couple of years. They haven't won more than 7 games in 2 years. Why should I think that they're better? But I also think that's a bit of a referendum, I guess you would say, on Will Levis too. And I think the book on Will Levis is people are not too impressed. I think especially outside of Nashville, because so often, our predictions are based a lot in terms of your quarterback spot. And I don't think Will Levis has been around or done enough yet to gain people's confidence. So I think that's a statement on Will Levis as well. But in my way of thinking, I'll start with Levis. I mean, he was decent last year. He wasn't great, but he had a solid rookie season. But you have to think that he is going to be better, even incrementally, than last year, simply because he's got new weapons. He's got Tyler Boyd. He's got Calvin Ridley in addition to Hopkins. He's got what appears to be a far better offensive line, and he's got a more creative, offensive-minded head coach than the guy who liked to hand off the football to Derrick Henry quite a bit. So I see right there Will Levis being, better. Now, how much better? That's going to be the key, but. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people outside of Nashville when he puts up some decent numbers this year. And then the other thing to me, did everybody else miss a pretty impressive offseason by the Titans in terms of additions to this team? L'Jarius Sneed, Chidobe Awuzie, we just talked about those guys. Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry at the center spot. Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd there at wide receiver. Then you get, the number 7 overall pick, J.C. Latham to fill a huge need at left tackle. I think this has been a pretty impressive offseason, at least so far on paper, for the Titans. And I don't get the sense that maybe the national public out there sees things like that as well. What they're saying is no Derrick Henry. AJ Brown is gone for a couple of years now. Even Ryan Tannehill was a name that people knew more so than Will Levis, and then he is gone now too. So there's a lot of like, who do the Titans even have at this point if you miss the free agency and so forth? And I think that's where you get these really pessimistic predictions for the Titans. And by the way, I'll just add, you mentioned those three websites that had the Titans picking number 2. Just for clarity's sake, who they would pick, one had Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden. Walter Football had Georgia quarterback Carson Beck. CBS Sports had edge rusher from UT, Tennessee, James Pierce Jr. And then another one little other tidbit, the Associated Press had in their early look at the draft, they had the Titans picking number 5, but moving up in a trade to get the number 1 pick. For Carson Beck. So I think Titans fans would be plenty happy if they weren't number 2 or number 1, honestly, last year, because that would mean that Will Levis had a pretty good season and that the Titans weren't, cellar dwellers again.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. The Levis question is huge out there, and I want to say you mentioned they were 6-11 last year. I believe I said 7 wins earlier. I was feeling generous, obviously, but I was wrong. So I'm glad you mentioned that. But yeah, the Levis question, there are some people. a number of people out there, I think, who feel like the Titans reached in terms of trading up in the second round to get him, whereas, some folks thought he was going to be a top 10 overall pick. I think there's the question too of Brian Callahan. I don't know that he was everybody's hot commodity going into the offseason, and he sort of has a quiet personality. And I don't think he's dazzled or made headlines during the offseason. Like you think about the impression Dan Quinn made when he first went to Detroit or whatever, and he has continued down that same path since he's been there. And the Lions, of course, are the most exciting team. I will say Brian Callahan doesn't have a track record, and this is if I'm feeling pessimistic as a Titans fan, this is what concerns me right now. Not only is Brian Callahan a first-time head coach doing a job that he has never done, which is a job that can overwhelm people if they're not fully prepared for it, but he's also going to be the play caller, which is a job he hasn't done. During games on Sundays, this is a guy who's going to be juggling two sets of responsibilities that he's never done previously, and that is a really big ask, and I think is legitimate cause for concern if you're looking for them with this team. But I agree. I mean, a team that's been competitive last year, the last few years, even when it hasn't been fully successful. A team that can come back from 14 down on the road against the Miami Dolphins with less than 3 minutes to play and win that game. There are a team that, as we talked about, addressed a number of its personnel issues. Did they get them all? I'm sure they didn't get them all. But certainly they're better. Although you mentioned Lloyd Cushenberry, did you see the Pro Football Focus positional rankings?
He's pretty damn high up. I know that.
Well, no, for 2024, they have Aaron Brewer of the Miami Dolphins ranked ahead of Lloyd
Oh,
Cushenberry.
I thought you talked about
No,
grades from
I'm talking
previous years.
for
Okay.
2024. So suddenly, and I mean, Pro Football Focus is not strict opinion. I mean, this is
Yeah.
often fact-based analysis, analytics, and this sort of thing. How you go from Cushenberry's statistically outstanding
Yeah.
2023 to say the Miami Dolphins are better at center with Aaron Brewer than the Titans are with Lloyd Cushenberry. Explain that to me. I
That's
mean,
baffling.
I think people just want to look at the Titans, like to your point, the recency bias, and just say, well, this isn't a good team, and no matter what they do, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I think so too. That's interesting about the I'm not sure I had seen the ratings for this year in the centers. But yeah, if you it's odd that the PFF of all sites has that rating now, because if you look at what they graded the players last year, Lloyd Cushenberry was one of the top centers in the
Yeah.
league in just about every category, and Aaron Brewer was solid in the run, but a sieve in the pass game. And the last time I checked, passing is pretty big part of the offense in Miami. So I hope Tua Tagovailoa isn't going to get buried and people cruising, by Aaron Brewer left and right.
Yeah, it was confounding to me that anybody could come to that conclusion. Now, I will say, even if things go well for the Titans this year, and I want to see if you agree with me on this. Even if Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins are both 1,000-yard receivers, if Pollard and Spears are 500 to 700 or above yard rushers, if Will Levis starts all 17 games, shows significant growth, and so on. At best, this team's playing for second place in the division, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think the Houston Texans are head and shoulders above the rest of the teams in the AFC South. And they were very good last year, and I think CJ Stroud, with a year under his belt, with added weapons, with guys coming back to that offense, I think that's going to be a really, really strong team. I think, and I looked again at the schedule tonight, and just tried to kind of guess at a win total for the Titans. And I keep coming up maybe around 8-ish, 9-ish, somewhere in there, and maybe that's too generous. Maybe they will be lower than that. But I think this team, and again, we're looking at it on paper now, I do think it's quite a bit better in many respects than it was a year ago. Certainly don't think that they're going to win one game, as our friends at BetOnline seem to believe. So I think they'll be in that mix of teams chasing the Texans. May not be chasing them too closely by the end of the season, but they'll be in that grouping.
Yeah, and I just went back and I double checked myself because I know, as ludicrous as it is, even saying it out loud, but Aaron Brewer, Miami Dolphins, ranked number 11 among senders. Lloyd Cushenberry ranked number 14 going into the
Did they not
season.
check
And
their own grades from the last few
yeah,
years on
and they
that? Did
even
they
yeah,
promote?
and I mean they're enamored with Brewer's run blocking
Ability.
grade from last year. And they say the Dolphins will hope he can improve as a pass blocker. Well, this is a team that's going to throw the ball
That's what I
much
mean.
more so than it's going to run it.
Exactly.
I don't know. And this whole perception game is interesting to me too, because one of the darling teams of the offseason in the eyes of many has been the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't know that the Colts have had that
Yeah.
great an offseason. I don't know how you look at the Colts offseason and say, oh, it's clearly and significantly better than the
Right.
Titans offseason. I mean, if the Titans are playing for second place, it's against Jacksonville, not against the Colts. I mean, to me, the Colts would be a much bigger surprise to get up there than if the Titans would, because their quarterback has just as many questions
More
as Will
so.
Levis does, if not more, because Richardson got hurt last year and
Right.
didn't play a whole lot. And but everybody seems to love Chris Ballard and the moves he makes. And but that didn't look like a team that was trending in the right direction to me last year. So
What
we'll
do you think
see.
of you? Well, we may have done this on an earlier show, but do you have a rough guess in terms of wins for next year at this point? I'm sure we'll all change before the season starts, but
Certainly, because there'll be injuries or something happened during the preseason. But I'm thinking 7 or 8. I'm thinking a slight improvement this year, but that sets them up for a bigger improvement the year after that. That's kind of what I think. I don't see, and it's interesting. We mentioned this these game by game odds, and it's not like the Titans are 1 and 2 point underdogs in these things either. I mean, as it stands right now, they're 4.5 point underdogs in the opener against Chicago. I mean, really, a rookie quarterback starting his first game. They're 6 point underdogs on the road at Houston, which I guess that's about right. 7.5 at Buffalo, 7 at Detroit. Those are good teams. +4 against the Chargers in Week 10. +3.5 against the Packers. I mean, these are all, none of these are really complimentary odds. The only game they're favored in, it we haven't mentioned, is against New England in Week 9, and that's a home game where they're 2.5 point favorites, and we all know that the standard home field advantage in the betting lines is 3 points. So even there, it's not what you would call they're what you would consider a compelling favorite. It's just I mean, the pessimism is just staggering for this team.
There's just not, like, I'm probably repeating myself, but right now there's just not a lot that people, we all know that Vegas kind of sets the odds based on maybe like national perception too, what they think bettors will go for and so forth. And right now, I just don't think there's a whole lot of recognition of the Titans. Like, again, I'll go back to average Joe sitting, thousands of miles across the country. The name of the Tennessee Titans comes up and he's thinking, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe, Jeffrey Simmons. People just don't know. People don't say, oh, I like that team. I think they're good because of so and so. There's not that person really there right now for the Titans as there was before. Even, to some extent, the departure of Mike Vrabel probably has something to do with that too. That was another people. Oh, well, Mike Vrabel, he's a good coach. Even if they're not, the most talented, he's going to get the most out of them, and they're going to get some wins just because of Mike Vrabel. Well, he's gone now too. In addition to Derrick Henry, in addition to some of the other names, so. I think there's a sense of, I don't know who the Titans are. They've been bad recently. They're probably going to be bad again. I think that's what nationally, I think that's what a lot of people are feeling right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, probably that, and Derrick Henry had as much star power as any player we have seen during the Titans era going back to 99. I think, Eddie George was probably on that same level, maybe a tick behind. And you're right, AJ Brown, for as many great receivers as have come into the league in the last few years. There's certainly Justin Jefferson, there's Ja'Marr Chase, but AJ Brown is very much in that conversation, and maybe that's part of it, that people are looking, well, these guys had AJ Brown and they traded him away, and they had Mike Vrabel, and Vrabel, God, I loved watching him, he's so entertaining, and when they fired him, they must not know what the hell they're doing out there. It's funny, but it certainly it's going to be different. I think that's the question is it going to be different good or different bad? Because 7 wins and 6 wins in consecutive seasons, I guess you could say it could go either way. And I will go back to what I said earlier. Certainly, management, I think, was honest with itself going into this offseason about the state of this team and what was needed. Rand Carthen had money to spend. He was not afraid to spend it. If it doesn't work out, you can't say they didn't try, but I just don't see this team having the second overall pick, when a
Right.
little less than a year from now.
I think too, one more point on that topic too. I think sometimes when one site does a prediction, and then there's another site that oh, we have to do our predictions. I wonder who else has done predictions. Oh, this one said the Titans are going to have the number two pick. The Titans are going to be bad. Yeah, I guess so. I'll go. It's almost a copycat effect too. But I was really surprised, as I said, it didn't take long to find three of them. Today, and then even as I mentioned, AP had him with the fifth pick, but moving up to number one too. So things are gonna have to prove themselves this year, no doubt.
Yes, they are. But that'll do it for this edition of Believe in Titans, the big picture, not always the happy picture edition, I guess, if you will. But we will be back for the next episode and get maybe into a little more detail about some of the players and people on this team. Until then, John Glennon, take care, my friend.
You as well, sir.
I will do that. I am David Beauclair, and thank you all, as always, for listening to Believe in Titans.